Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life Off KG. Today I have Chris and Becca on the show from Nail Order, which I'm so excited about. We've been planning this interview for a while now. But one thing I have to say is my sound on my mic sounds perfect now, right? But while I was interviewing them, I was like, my sound isn't right. And I was panicking, thinking, I hope I'm not going to be mute when I listen to this back. I wasn't, but my sound's not perfect. So I'm sorry, bear with me if it doesn't sound as clear as this. It's still there, thank God. I was like, oh my God, imagine if I had to interview them again, that would be really bad. But it's all good. And we go over so much. They are such interesting people. They're husband and wife, first of all. Like, I love the fact they work together. They've had many businesses. So we talk about having beauty salon, a fashion brand, obviously Nail Order, which is a product range. So we go over so much in this interview. So it's really, really insightful for every single person that's in business. So without further ado, we will get started. If you do love this show as much as us, please make sure you hit the subscribe button, write a review, and share to your friends on social. We'd be so grateful. Let's go. You guys that know me know that I love my supplements. It is a must as part of my lifestyle. And I personally use Sky Premium Life. They have a huge range to choose from. So no matter what you're kind of looking for, I'm pretty sure they're going to have. But I personally use the collagen and the hair supplements. And the difference in my skin and hair is absolutely incredible. They are super reasonable, so go and check them out. And if it was something that you also wanted to reach out, you can do that within your businesses. So we've recently brought them within the salon too, so our clients can then buy from us. But you can still just use it yourself, or you can use it in your business. So go and check them out. And there is also a 15% discount code below in the show notes. Hi guys, welcome to my podcast. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, this has been booked in for a while, so I'm so glad that we're finally here. But can you guys just introduce yourself to our listeners?
I'm Becca.
I'm Chris.
And we are the founders / owners, I guess, of Nail Order.
Husband and wife, too.
Yes. Oh, you said that like that was the most important part.
No, I just think we have to have clarification. Okay. So we're arguing halfway through, you understand that it's because we're husband and wife, not just the owners
exactly.
of the business.
Domestics.
Right, so you're going to have to tell me, what is it like working as husband and wife?
We've done it for over a decade. And I think the number one rule is you have to be really good at ignoring each other. And
also communication.
Communication, but also ignoring each other and being able to like switch between... You can't be like a normal husband and wife. I think
that's definitely
like,
not.
Yeah.
One thing I would say is this year has been very different for Rebecca and I, where for such a long time, we were husband and wife, we owned businesses, but we weren't really in love. We didn't show each other. Okay, I'll rephrase that. We didn't show.
I'm not meant to take this seriously.
Okay, we weren't particularly affectionate.
Yeah.
That's a better way to say it that people will understand.
It's like, for instance,
you can say we're married, but we weren't in love.
For instance, getting married was just really just a formality. We just had to get through the process because Rebecca booked the date, you know, so we're just getting through the steps because business rules your life. You guys, you probably know this yourself, that if you have your own business, for instance, when we finish work and we say come home and we go for a dog walk, we talk about business.
Yeah.
It doesn't ever leave your life. So have been husband and wife, that own a business together, especially together, is good and bad.
Yeah, it's challenging. You have to have a different dynamic to your relationship for sure than maybe other people have, because you need to be able to try and put aside your differences. Like if you're having like a personal argument and you need to still be able to communicate professionally. So yeah, it's a struggle.
So I was going to say, like, obviously there's that whole not switching off, and I get that, because if I could talk about business all day long to my partner, I would, but he would be like, nah, not interested. But do you think that's helped the success of your company, because you are still both so switched on?
Yes, 100%. Like I said about dog walks, that's actually where we come up with our best ideas. Is like we go out on a long dog walk and we'll just like chat random things and then we'll come up with really good ideas. So because we can't ever switch off, yeah, you're always being productive towards a business. Some might argue that's not healthy, but we both thrive off of it and we both really, really enjoy that.
Yeah, we don't have a social life or anything, so it's just business. But one thing I was thinking is, I think it must be a million times more difficult, for instance, if Rebecca owned her own business and I owned my own business, and then you came together at the end of the day, you could hash out certain things, but I don't think you would ever come to like a good path. But then at the same time, maybe Rebecca might have good ideas for my business, her business, etc. We've owned, what, 5-6 different businesses together over the last 10, 12 years? 15 years?
15 years, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep, always together. Oh. Can you hear anything?
No, we've lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. How long's Now Order been going then?
So we started Nail Order during lockdown, so in 2020. At the time, we had a clothing boutique and a beauty salon, and we were then obviously found ourselves with nothing to do, and Chris and I always have to be doing something. So lockdown gave us the time that we'd never had before and would never have to be able to indulge in projects that we'd maybe thought about, had a fleeting thought about previously, didn't know where to start, but it gave us the time to actually sit down and do it. So yeah, 2020, that's when we started Nail Order.
Wow, it's blown up massively then in a few years.
It is, and we hope that it's going to blow up even more over the next sort of couple of months, because we're about to release our gel polish range, which has been really, really long awaited, and we're so excited about it, aren't we?
Nail Order has grown beyond both, I think, our wildest dreams. Yeah. We started off to just be a small company, and it sounds ridiculous to think that you're okay with being a small company, but the small company that we wanted to be...
Well, we're still a small company, but we're really, really tiny.
But was much bigger than we had at the time, so for us it was a big step. The only thing from that is it's grown beyond that.
It has.
Beyond our wellness dreams, I think.
Definitely. Because we started off just as a cuticle oil company with some merch. And we never had plans to move past that. But we'd always had passion for like full cover tips. So we have obviously our extensions range. And Chris said we should do our own, because we'd been so passionate about it and we'd used them exclusively in our salon for a really long time. And then we're like, right, okay, now we're done the cuticle oil. A couple of months later, we're like, right, okay, let's do this. And it just evolves, doesn't it? And we're community-led as well. So if we see our customers demanding something of us, then we'll try and fill that void for
them.
And
do
as well.
They demand?
Yes.
They demand a lot.
Yes.
So we have like a Facebook group. Thankfully, I'm not really a big part of it. But I mean, sometimes Rebecca will be like, oh, we need to do this now. And I'm like, why? Because someone asked for it in the Facebook group. But it's maybe an idea that's been percolating in Rebecca's head. And then someone has maybe suggested that we maybe do it because they think it would suit or it would align with our brand or our values, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, before you know it, we're starting a new project. We have many projects on the go all at one time.
Yes, all at one time. And it's very challenging, especially at the moment.
We use Now Order in my salon, actually. That's why I was I need to get you guys on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you use? Do you use the extensions?
Yeah, the extensions. Yeah.
That's so cool.
The full coverage tips. We love them.
Do you know how excited we get when we see Nail Order in the wild?
This is a big thing.
Honestly, it's really, really exciting. So Chris and I... Sorry, I don't know what that was. Chris took me away for a romantic night recently because he never does anything romantic, and I moan and moan and moan.
Remember how I said this year we've been more romantic?
We've been really in love this year, haven't we? Anyway, it's our 7th year married, and usually people get the 7 year rich, but we're the 7 year in love. Anyway, so Chris took me for a romantic overnight, and this was like way over on the... So we're on the west coast, but this is like the Highland west coast of Scotland, and it's really quite remote. And we were walking through the town.
It's a small town.
It's a really small town. And I was walking past the sound, and it was in the window, and like the nail tech was working away and stuff like that. And I just glanced. I was like, and I could smell like in the air just this really nice scent. And I just looked in the window. I was like, oh, Nail Order in the wild. And it was they were using our sanitizers and stuff. And I was like, yes, Nail Order in the wild. And I made him walk back. And then we walked forward and like did a little film of it because we were so excited about it. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just nice to see. The thing is, obviously, we send out hundreds and hundreds of parcels all the time, but it's actually just nice to see it.
See it, yeah, yeah.
You know, where makes it's not real. Staged. Yeah, it makes it real, yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Nice. Yeah, I get that. We've got a lash range, so we distribute to salons all of our lash products. And recently I've brought out a lash and brow serum. And so everyone's retailing it in their businesses. And when they're sending me the photos, obviously we've been distributing to salons for years and years and years. But I was like, oh my God, our stands of our lash serums are now salons. And you never get bored of it, do you?
Like, no, oh my never. God,
this is just amazing.
It's so exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So before Nail Order then, obviously you had your other businesses. What made you guys get into business? Like, where does that come from?
Gosh, our journey is really quite random. I do genuinely believe that like everything that you go through is for a reason and leads you down a path. So yeah, I'm never going to say, oh, I regret doing that, or I didn't enjoy it, I wish I hadn't done it, because then you wouldn't be where you are today. So for me, I did accountancy and economics at university. I really didn't like it. I really didn't enjoy that formal learning. And I never really knew what I wanted to do. And then Chris and I met both working at Phones For You, if you guys remember that company. And it was sales. It was my first sales job. And I absolutely loved sales. And I totally thrived on it. And Chris was the same. He was really, really good at sales. You loved it.
Yeah. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. So my dad had many businesses. But it all really came down to sales. So sales was always kind of in my blood. And after not wanting to pursue the family business, I got into sales, and it was Phones For You, and sales is
I just thrive off it. It's so exciting.
We call ourselves sales animals, and it's because
I wouldn't describe myself as that. Not anymore.
But back in those days, and it was just because you thrive that you think working for yourself. You wake up and you think about business. When you work for someone like Phones For You, because it's very target driven, and you want to be the best within your stop, your shop, your region, even within the whole company. You know, because you have such wild targets, you become a sales animal. You eat it, you sleep it, you wake up, and that's the first thing you think, how can I improve today? And I think that has put us in good stead for our own business.
Yeah, definitely. So we met at Phones For You, and then I was getting my nails done one day, and I didn't get my nails done often. I swear this must have been maybe the second or third time in my life I'd had my nails done. And I was talking to the guy who was doing my nails, and he was saying that they were going to be renting out some of the space in the salon, because it was quite a big salon, but they weren't using half the space. And I'd seen this thing on TV. I'd never had like a thought to have my own business, but again, I'd never known what I wanted to do. And then I'd seen this thing on TV, and then I knew this, they were wanting to rent out half the salon. And I went home to Chris, and I was like, Chris, I've got this idea. And it was for fish pedicures, right? Totally random. Never had one done, never seen one in real life. I'd seen it on TV. There was one other place in Scotland. And I was like, oh, I want to do, we should do this. And he's like, oh, don't be so stupid. That's crazy. 2 weeks later, we were open. And we were the second place in Scotland to do fish pedicures. We were constantly busy. It was just the two of us. We had no staff. We paid a weekly rent to the salon, which included all of our bills.
But it was a wild rent when we think about what we pay now.
Was it 125? Was it 200?
Oh,
Anyway, but that was including all of our bills. So we had no staff costs. We had these tanks. We really soon after had to get more tanks. And then after about 3 months, we were like, we're going to need an accountant. This is crazy. And we went to this accountancy firm and we showed them everything, told them how much we were making, and he didn't believe us. He was like, that's not possible. You can't be bringing in that much money just doing these fish pedicures, the two of you. I was like, well, we are. God, those were good days, weren't they?
The good days. The easier days when, granted, you didn't have any staff, but you had 1,200 fish to look after.
Yeah, those fish were like his babies. So we did that, and we got staff, and then we opened another one. And then from there, when we opened, and one of the ones we opened was in a shopping centre, and it soon became apparent that it just wasn't appropriate for a shopping centre. People were like throwing coins into the tanks as though it was like a wishing well. And we were like, this isn't, and that like poisons, it's all to do with the pH, it poisons the fish, it's a whole thing. So we were like, we're going to have to move out into a unit. But then we thought, we can't just have a unit doing fish pedicures. It's kind of wasting some of the space.
Also, the staff we had working for us at the time were into beauty.
They were so really into beauty.
Getting the lashes done, they love getting the nails done. So it kind of works together if you put that type of, you know, treatment, it's a treatment together with like some lashes and nails.
Yeah, so we opened a salon, and then we opened another salon.
The salon was tiny. The first
that was so small. It
there's
was
pictures on my phone because it must have been, I think, 13, 14 years to this week when we opened it, and it must have been, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe maximum 50 square feet.
It was tiny, tiny,
tiny.
And then we opened another one in Paisley, and that's. Yeah. I would say that's where our proper salon journey started. So we had our salon in Paisley for over 10 years. We moved to a much bigger salon, renovated and stuff like that. And yeah, it was a lot of staff. I think before lockdown, we had 13 staff. It was a busy salon, really busy salon. And we sold the salon about 18 months ago now. Just because it was too much, you know yourself, there's a lot of balls in the air, and between that and nail order was really, really picking up pace. And, you know,
also Rebecca does microblading.
Yes, I do microblading as well. And I've been really busy with that for years, like booked out months in advance. So there's that as well. And then we had the training academy as well.
As soon as you have a salon, it kind of goes.
It does.
A training place would be ideal, especially if you have members of staff who get a little bit older who might not want to work in the salon so much. Then we thought it'd be great for them to move into teaching. It's just kind of a natural way.
So, yeah, it's crazy, crazy.
Wow, what a journey.
I know.
I mean, that's busy with lots of businesses. I thought I was bad.
Yeah.
And we forgot about the clothing store.
We forgot, the clothing store. We had the clothing store with a hair salon as well, yeah.
So the landlord who we had the salon with owned the whole street, and all of a sudden this unit came up for rent. We thought, we do all the beauty treatments. We do nails, we do lashes, tans, everything. It'd be great if we could do here. Now there's an empty shop. So we decided to split the store between doing hair extensions, etc., and then having clothes.
Well, the hair salon was like in a glass sort of box, like an office, wasn't it?
Well, it's kind of like a fishbowl.
Yeah. And then we had the clothing boutique as well. And we had that for 6 years. Yeah. And then we really noticed a downturn in sort of retail, and especially high street retail. And then that coincided with lockdown. So it was kind of perfect timing, wasn't it? We thought, one thing Chris and I are very good at is knowing... We're never sentimental in business. I think it's really important not to be sentimental or emotional in business, because it stops you from making good decisions. So we're very good at knowing when, okay, it's time. It's time. Let's
if you
stop
imagine
here.
The boutique, we did sell online, but trying to compete with prices.
Yeah, so you're competing with ASOS and these people. You can't do it. You just can't do it. So... and then obviously, as I said, with lockdown and stuff. So it was just the right time, wasn't it? So we put all of that effort and energy into nail order.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating, actually, that you mentioned about the emotional connection with businesses and that you haven't got that. And I guess that's why you can easily start businesses, then ready to sell them and start another one. I think especially in our industry and the beauty space and the hair space, people get so attached to their salons, and their salons are their babies, and then their lives fall apart if anything happens with staffing and stuff like that. And to try and take out, it's really hard to try and take out personal piece and not making it so emotional. How do you guys do that?
Well, I will say with the staffing thing, we are very, very bad at managing our own staff within our own businesses. Chris was a manager at Phones For You. In fact, we were both managers, but Chris was a more senior manager than I was when we met at Phones For You. And he was incredibly good at managing, at being a manager. And it's very funny because I've watched this with my dad of recent years, who was incredibly good at managing very large teams of people in corporations. But when it comes to his own personal business, it's not the same. And what I've realized is that managing people when the business is not yours and nothing comes back on you is so much easier than managing people when the business is yours and everything comes back on you. I do think with staff, I would get emotionally affected with staff, and I can remember several times thinking, if this staff member leaves, that's it, that's half the business gone, because they're so busy with clients and stuff. But then that happens one time and then you realize it's fine, and then it happens another time, you freak out again, and you realize it's fine, and then it happens a third time and everything is fine. And then you soon realize Chris always says, the business is bigger than any one person. You know, the business isn't about that one person. The business was always there. People come and go, you know, so I think it's really
clients come and go, staff come and go.
Yeah.
The thing is, the building's always there. So as long as you put the effort into the actual business itself,
yeah,
you might get a member of staff if, you know, you have a salon that leaves. They'll take some clients, but then all of a sudden that client, you know, the schedule of that beautician who's left maybe not suit that client. So yeah, all of a sudden they come back into the salon, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important to, yeah, the business is bigger than any one person.
Yes.
And I think being able to offer a consistent service, a consistent offering to your client base, but especially if you're a salon owner, you have multiple staff, never worry about the staff taking all your clients. It won't happen. They might take a few in the short term, but they'll come back. You'll replace them with other ones. You know, it's never going to ruin your business. Never.
Definitely. So obviously the years that you guys have in business and all the businesses that you have had, you've obviously would have naturally made some mistakes and you would have made lots of wins as well. What would you say have been like your biggest business mistakes that you might have made?
Oh, that's a really tough question. I think number one, like, no mistake is a bad thing because any mistake teaches you a lesson. What is a mistake?
I would say hiring out of being desperate.
That is a good one.
So whether it be in the hair salon, especially because I do believe that
because we were very inexperienced when it came
yes,
to hair.
Because
yeah,
we had no experience when it came to hair. If a member of staff would leave, we would desperately hire pretty much anyone who would walk through the door, and that's a big mistake because you've not really vetted them, or if you did vet them, it's just, you know, if they turn up on the day and they turn up on time, quite often that was good enough.
Yeah,
you know?
I think in beauty, one something I was going to say is I think it was a mistake we only made once or twice, and we soon put big things in place so we didn't do it. It was running out of stock. That I think is, especially in the beauty industry, you never want to be that salon where somebody turns up and they want a certain curl of lash or a certain thickness of lash, as an example, and you're like, oh, I've run out, I can't do that. Or what, you never want to be that person who can't offer a treatment because you've run out of a product. So always having backups. Do you know what I mean? You're shaking your head, you're going, yeah, I know this one.
That cannot happen.
Yeah, you can't ever let that happen. Why are you going to let people, you know, walk out the door when just because you didn't have stock?
Also, that comes down to staffing as well. For instance, we used to hire lots of full-time people, and then that changed when we realized that if someone's off sick, someone is on maternity, or someone goes on holiday, you're all of a sudden down 5 days worth of a member of staff. So we changed that again by learning over to multiple part-time, so that if someone is sick, quite often someone would be able to come in and replace or help out
yeah,
for that one day.
Lots of,
so again,
yeah,
you don't see clients leaving.
I think, see, in general business, it's hard to say like there's any particular like mistakes, but I think specifically in beauty, what was one I was going to say that? Well, number one, I think, is a big mistake that we used to make the first few years of having a salon is going, oh, a receptionist is a waste of money. Receptionist is a total waste of money. Why do people spend their money on that? That's a non-productive staff member. Oh my God, how wrong we were. Because when we moved into our bigger, newly refurbished premises, we wanted to offer a higher quality of service, and we got our receptionists. Wow, you suddenly realize all those bookings that you've been missing every time that phone had rang, or, you know, a message had come through, and they can upsell services and they'll rebook people in and they'll take details. We didn't used to take people's details, you know, like in terms of a phone number, just a name, hope they turn up.
Yeah. People so do underestimate the front of house, like massively.
100%. 100%.
One thing we thought we were quite capable of, we always had an online booking system. So
yeah,
for us, for the staff members could also access it at any point in time, so they could see how busy their day was.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes when a member of staff comes in and they've got a full diary and it's a page of diary, they'll freak out thinking they're not going to get lunch break. But at least if they knew the night before that it's going to be busy tomorrow, they can set themselves up slightly good. But having that receptionist or a manager who could, for instance, if two or three clients cancel, they can either fill it up really quickly.
If a staff member doesn't turn up, they can juggle that diary around to fix it, and it's not taking away a productive staff member from doing, you know, the services. I think our number one thing, if we break...
You said number one four times.
I know. But I think if we do like really think, and I know you'll agree with this, me and this, it's not a mistake, but it's a way to avoid mistakes, is that don't ever force anything in business. And again, it sounds like I'm a really spiritual airy fairy person, which I'm not at all, but I do genuinely believe things happen for a reason. And the reason I say that is because I have seen it happen in Chris and I's business life so many times, where we have tried to force a contract to go through to be able to get a premises, and we really wanted it, we've had all of our hopes on it, and then it didn't happen, and we were gutted. But then a little bit down the line, we've seen, okay, that's why that didn't happen, and if that had happened, then we wouldn't have had this opportunity. It's been the same with premises that we've wanted to lease.
Yep.
You know, all sorts of things. We've been so, had all of our hopes pinned on something and really tried to force it, and then it didn't work.
Again, it could be the same with staff. You know, you maybe do interviews and you really hope this person comes to work for you and they don't. But then the person you hire in their place turns out to be great.
Yeah.
They're with you for 5 years. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So don't ever force it.
Don't ever force anything, yeah.
It does always work out in the end, 100%.
Yeah.
So going back to now order then, why do you think you guys have worked? What have you done differently to any of the other nail brands out there? Because obviously the nail industry is huge.
Yeah, it's massive and it's a scary place. But I think what we are really lucky with right now is I think we're entering an era of where small businesses rule. People have lost faith in bigger brands. People are worried, especially in the beauty industry, for so many different reasons, allergies, you know, downturn in sales, all sorts of things. So what they are finding from little brands or smaller brands is a much higher level of customer service. I mean, you'll know what it's like. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'll have emailed customer service when we had our salon for the nail company that we used. They didn't even bother replying. You know, we reply to every single person and we will reply mostly within an hour or two.
And this could be, you know, 11 p.m.
This could be, so I think that's why small business is so popular right now, is because what customers are seeing is that level of trust. I think Chris and I have talked about this several times between us, that we think that everything that we have done in the industry and businesses before has led us to this. Nail order is, well, I hope, touch wood, nail order isn't a business that, you know, we'll sell in a couple of years' time and move on to something new. I feel like nail order is the one, and there's so much potential for it. I think it works ultimately because we really care. We listen to our customers. We have the experience of being salon owners for so long, so we know what annoyed us. You know, we know what we wanted to change. We know what we wanted from brands. And we're very, very honest as a brand. Some might say too honest, I guess. But I think people really, really appreciate that honesty, especially when they're looking for help, looking for somebody to be able to trust. That's what I would say.
One thing I would say is when nail order was kind of coming around and we were looking at logos and we were looking at ideas for packaging and stuff like that, Rebecca was very fixed on like pastels and white color and and to be similar to every other brand out there.
That's true.
And I can remember having this argument with her and she's just going on and on about how perfect she wants things. And I'm like, you just blend into every other company. You just be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you just become those companies. Why don't you do something completely different? This is why we changed a lot of our packaging to black, you know, which is quite harsh for a lot of people to take, especially when salons are nice and quite light and everything else. Recently, we've changed some of our packaging to white, and there's things coming in the pipeline that will be more white.
We want to appeal to as many people as possible.
Yeah, that's not to take away from what we were, you know. And the amount of clientele or the amount of customers who have come along and been like, I just love your packaging.
Yeah.
You know, I love the way it looks in our salon. It is a contrast to everyone else.
I think ultimately what you're trying to say is standing out for the crowd. We might be offering the same type of products or services as many other businesses do, but we're standing out from the crowd for different reasons, whether that is the aesthetic, whether that is the quality of the products, the quality of the customer service. Price
try to be really fair with price, whereas a lot of people, I think, now, especially because of, like, you know, just price increases everywhere, some people just take the mic.
Yeah, especially because we're a really small business as well, so we don't have the budget that, you know, these other big companies do, but we put in a lot more care, I would say.
Yeah.
Did you go straight like online and just put like loads of marketing behind like online ads, or did you start like local and then build it that way?
We didn't do any online ads or anything like that to begin with. We had a very, very limited number of products online. But I think we only had one product online to begin with. Was that our masks?
Yeah, face masks.
Face masks. So obviously face masks were a big thing. We already had a range of uniform that we had done for our staff and our salon, which is the I Do Nails, What's Your Superpower logo, which is our OG logo. And so we already had that for our staff. And then one of the girls had suggested, what I'd heard her say was, why don't you make the old t-shirts into masks? And I was like, that's really, really weird. Why don't we just make masks? Anyway, she says, oh, masks of the logo would be good. But anyway, so we're like, that's really good. People are going to love this logo. People need face masks, you know, for going back to work and stuff.
A lot of this was, let's buy stuff for our salon, for ourselves.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden, things became super expensive. A box of gloves that used to cost, say, £4, all of a sudden was £20.
Yeah.
So Rebecca and I would be very good at sourcing big quantities of these.
We've always been into bulk buying and getting cheaper.
Pallet of gloves. And then we thought to ourselves, maybe we can sell it to other people. What if we buy, 50 face masks for the staff? Well, what if we buy 100 and sell some online? And that's really how nail order started to come around.
Yes.
And I remember when we got our first batch of cuticle oil, which Rebecca and I worked on for months and months. And we
used to
do smell tests in the garden. Because during lockdown, the weather was beautiful. We spent a lot of time outside. It was fantastic. And I remember when we first got our cuticle oil pens, we got 5,000 of them. And at that point in time, this was all of our savings.
It was all of our money. We were like, are we ever going to be able to sell these? Oh my goodness. Like, this is crazy. And now you're placing orders for, many times that. And you're like,
but the thing is, because we try to do some things ever so slightly different, similar to other people, but just ever so slightly different. And I think what you found there is it just gained traction with a lot of people who had been sitting around. They had maybe stock in the salon. They were going into this back to work, back into the salon after lockdown. They were looking at maybe the margins they were getting on, say, existing cuticle pens, and they were looking at the margins you can get in hours and thinking, well, that's better value for money.
We've always been really passionate about sales. Something we always had in our salon was retail. So whether it was cuticle oils, whether it was fake tan, God, we used to sell a huge amount of Lauren's Way fake tan. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, we used to sell that.
We had a really good relationship with the owner, and we used to do the trade shows and stuff, but we sold a huge amount of that, or strip lashes, or whatever the up and coming thing was. So retail was always really important, and we were always really aware of margins and stuff. So we'd never bring something into our salon that we weren't doubling our money on. And we were retailing cuticle oils and stuff in our salon before lockdown. We were starting to get really kind of annoyed with the margins were going way, way, way down. The quantity was going down. The price of the product was going up. And we were like, what's even the point of having this sitting on our shelves? So that's kind of one of the things that pushed us to do the cuticle oil, but also that we're really passionate about offering to our customers is a really good margin on their retail, because it's really important to help people, boost their profits and stuff.
If you can get a small piece of someone's shelf space, you want to make it worth their while.
Yes, 100%. You don't want them to have loads of money sitting on the shelves and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, definitely. What would you say are your top tips then for someone that's wanting to start a brand, seeing as you guys are brand geniuses?
Oh, definitely not brand geniuses. We have a lot to learn. We're learning every day. And that's the number one thing. A number one again. Bloody hell, there's a lot of number ones. But yeah, every day is a learning day. And there is not a handbook for this. I've said that so many times recently. It's not like somebody hands you a handbook. Okay, number one thing I would say, in this section... for my top tips for if you are starting a brand in any industry is ensure you're compliant.
Wow, that's a really, really good one that have not practiced for many years.
No, the thing with compliance is you're gonna make mistakes as you go along. So if you can ensure that whatever you're selling, especially if it's a cosmetic, a product that's going to be applied to somebody's body in one way or another, you want to make sure that you can ensure the ingredients inside, you have the appropriate documentation, and that the bottles are labeled correctly, and that you're selling that product in a legitimate way. So maybe if it's a professional only product, you're ensuring that it's only professionals that are buying it. I think compliance in this day and age particularly, incredibly important.
Incredibly, and it will come back around real quick.
It will come back around, and that could really be your undoing if you're not compliant and ignorant, because especially in this day and age where people are wanting brands to trust. That's what I would say, number one.
Also, you have like little Jessie down the street. She will pick you out for compliance.
We're
not talking trading standards coming around. We're talking about little Jessie down the street. She'll look at one of your bottles and say, that doesn't match up with what you've said. Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's been misprinted. Just 100,000 of these bottles printed. What am I going to do?
And that's the thing. You are going to make mistakes. If you are starting a brand and you're having products manufactured that that are unique formulas, mistakes are going to be made. And it is a learning thing. But as long as you try to rectify them as quickly as possible.
I'll go over to number two before okay. She keeps talking. Jesus. What you were just saying about unique products, I think that's a good one.
I was going to say that's number two.
It's easy, super easy to get something off the shelf where you can get it from China, Europe, the UK, and just slap your label on it and sell it. That's the easy way. You will make a relative amount of money.
Well, I'll make a little bit.
But someone else will come along and do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So stand out from the crowd. Do something ever so slightly different. For instance, if you're getting something, or you can change the formula to make it, say, hypoallergenic or slightly safer than it is currently, then do it. Spend a little bit of extra time, spend a little bit of extra money, because it will pay dividends.
I think number three, oh, there's so many, but I think number three would be, is if you are literally just starting, do not make the mistake of going and paying somebody to make you a big fancy looking website.
Correct.
We have not paid anybody to our website. Our website currently, we are not happy with it, but we will be.
It's under construction.
It's under construction. We're launching a new one. But again, this is all done in-house, and we are, well, Chris does website. He has not got any degrees or formal experience or anything. Go and use a platform such as Shopify, which is super easy. It is plug and play. It has got different themes. It's got different add-ons, and it's going to give you a really professional looking website.
Don't spend loads of money.
No, for a fraction of the price. Some of the biggest businesses in the world use these plug and play type platforms. But I would say, yeah, get your products online. They have to be online. If you're starting a brand, it has to be online. And don't pay big bucks for a new website. Use a plug and play one.
I'll go for number four.
Oh, that was you asked for three, but on you go.
Did you ask?
Go for it.
Let's talk about advertising. This is something you did touch on. And advertising's one of the hardest metrics to get right. I think you can advertise in print. You can advertise by, say, boosting a reel or boosting an image on Instagram. You can do the same on Facebook. You can do actual proper Facebook ads, which then spreads to Facebook and Instagram and other partners throughout the Meta platform. You can do Google ads. The thing is, you kind of need to do them all, especially as your brand is growing.
It's never been harder than what it is now. See, years ago when Instagram was quite new and stuff like that, and even Facebook, like we started doing Facebook ad, like we were one of the first beauty businesses in our area, or certainly that we knew of, to utilize Facebook, as in just have a Facebook page, and that was the advertising that we did to get busy. But now it's so saturated. And even when it comes to paying for advertising through Facebook or Instagram, they have so many businesses paying that they're hardly showing them to any people. So unfortunately, it is harder now than it has ever been.
I'd say before iOS 14.5, it was super easy. You could put, say, £20-30 a day into Facebook advertising and your brand would grow massively. Now you're sometimes hundreds of pounds a day and you're maybe getting an extra 20-30 followers. And you think to yourself, what's the point? You don't have a choice. You just don't have a choice. As your brand grows, obviously the budget will grow. But one thing I would say is go onto YouTube and find people who know how to advertise on Facebook and Instagram, and not necessarily copy everything they do, but learn from what they do and how they do it and see if it matches your brand. There's a guy on YouTube, he's called Ben Heath. He's a guy from the UK, and he goes through different strategies for free on YouTube. He's a great guy. And he goes through the intricacies of how and why you should advertise on certain platforms. And I think it's been great if anyone was listening and you think, oh, maybe I should do some paid advertising, that'd be a great way to get into it.
But I would say before you spend any money on paid advertising, don't do that first. Okay. Get the product into people's hands and get people talking about it, loving your product and posting about it. That is free.
Free.
And the best thing that you can do.
Where do you guys then focus your marketing now then? Do you put that behind ads, or do you put that just in social email marketing? Like, what do you
think? You answer this one. Brand?
A lot. So we do, we try not to saturate emails because we find other brands do, and I don't.
It annoys us.
Yeah, I just don't look at
it. And you lose interest. See, if you're receiving an email every single day from a brand, you're not even opening it.
Yeah, that's a scent company that we subscribe to or whatever it was, and you get an email every day saying it's a new sale on.
And you're like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Don't care. So me personally, I would do an email maybe once a week, maybe once every fortnight. We normally do ours on a Monday. It just goes out and just gives you a rundown of what's happened this week, new products, maybe discount codes, stuff like that. I would go for, if you could, free advertising, which is things like YouTube. If you put out YouTube videos, it's great for know, like, and trust the brand, which is, you know, it's a great asset. We've been lazy at our YouTube videos because there's been so much going on.
It's just time.
But we're starting to get back into it. And it's a whole lot of fun. We have a lot of fun YouTube coming up.
Yes, we've got
one. We're filming one today. And it's just a lot of nonsense, which is pretty good for know, like, and trust the brand.
We're doing a bit of sort of beta testing just now in terms of paid advertising. Chris runs these things that he calls magic ads on Facebook that used to get really, really good traction. But they don't get such good traction anymore. So we've kind of turned off all of the paid advertising, just see how things are going organically, because we weren't convinced that we were getting value for money. And I think actually what we found is we really, really weren't.
Yeah, it got to the stage where the paid advertising wasn't doing so well. And before you know it, we were pumping hundreds of pounds in a day to try and get the same what we used to get. And then we just switched it off just to see how it would go. And yeah, sales have dropped ever so slightly, but they've not dropped
significantly
yeah. to be able to compensate on what we've paid for it.
I think
so what we'd say is try things, just try things.
I think for us, like influencer PR type thing and getting into people's hands, we are not a brand. We don't like to go up to people, hi, how much will you charge to feature our product? Because it's completely disingenuous. We want something that's like genuine. Somebody is they're using the product because they really, really like it. And that comes through on videos, you know? Mm-hmm. So we like to get it into people's hands who have already bought from us, already used our products, and send them stuff without sort of obligation and say, look, we would really hope that you'd like to promote this, but if you don't and you don't like it, we understand, because we want it to be genuine. So I think micro influencers is a really, really big thing at the moment, and using people with, don't go for people with big followings. We've never ever done that. Like if we look at our brand ambassador scheme, we were never going for people with 100,000 followers, etc. We were going for people who they had a following, maybe not massive, but they really, really liked our products and they created good content using those products.
One thing I would just touch on with the micro influencers, some micro influencers think they're mega influencers and you might maybe potentially send them something and they're like, sure, I can do that, no problem, but we also need another £500. And you're like, wait,
you have 700 followers.
This is not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it'd be careful on who you choose.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Where do you think the nail world's going to go over the next 6 to 12 months? Any trends that you see coming up?
I think that there are going to be some more older fashioned techniques coming back into fashion. See, you give me a look like that. I see like a resurgence of things like hard gel and stuff like that coming back in the nail industry personally.
I think builders having a bit of a
I do think builders going to have a bit of a downturn. I think people are going to go to, for a variety of reasons, I think people are going to go with start going with different products.
Everything in life ebbs and flows, so you get things that come back or things that go away. Right now I think builders are having a bit of a hard time because of the hard press it's had recently.
I'm going to be completely honest here. I have never been and never will be the biggest fan of builder. I'll never pick that. I don't get me wrong, like that's what's on my nails right now, but for aesthetic purposes and for actually doing the treatment, never been my favorite treatment, never will be. I don't know builder. Yeah, so I see builder going a bit out of fashion, and I see more older style fashion products, things like hard gel, etc., coming back on trend. That's what I think is going to happen.
Interesting. Watch this space.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you both. I would love to be spending the day with you all day, every day. I can imagine the energy bouncing off you both. I love it.
It is a bit of a crazy place to work, but sometimes the energy isn't great. But no, in general, it is really, really exciting. We have so many exciting things on the go. So all the staff are really excited right now because we've got our gel polish launch coming up. We are planning an amazing event for January. Which tickets will go on sale for soon, and it is going to be a really, really crazy
group. This is the only thing that they have spoken about for the last week. We went to Birmingham. It's been launched, right?
We went to
Birmingham to check out some places, and these places are like mega places.
They're really cool. Yeah.
And that's all the girls are, everyone's spoken about.
We're so excited. That's why. It's going to be so great, this event. I'm just so excited for it.
It's going to be speakers during the day, education. It's going to be fun stalls.
The entertainment we have for night. Woo!
Night time is just going to be wild. It goes on to like 2 a.m. That's just love that. Crazy.
So yeah, there's a lot of excitement right now.
Oh, so where can people connect? Where can they find out about the event? Where's best to send people?
So definitely number one, go to number one again, right? That's it. I am buzzed from saying number one.
Yep.
Go to our Instagram, which is just Nail Order. That's where you're going to find all of the information for anything that is going on. If you want to have a laugh, go and check out TikTok, Nail Order. If you want more education, check us out on YouTube.
Yep, so that's Nail Order.
We also have our Facebook group, which is for the Nail Order community. It's a community-like group. Anybody can go on there, ask questions. They're having problems with anything. We try and let the community sort of guide that. We let all posts go up unless you're trying to sell scissors or tweezers or something. And then, of course, if you want to have a look at our products, go to nailorder.co.uk.
Yep.
Perfect. I will put all the links in the show notes. But thank you so much for giving up your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TNB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.